Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AXA conference call on the AXA Group financial results for the half year 2026. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star one on your telephone keypad. We kindly ask that you limit your questions to a maximum of two. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker, Anu Venkataraman. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining AXA's first half 2026 results call. Presenting the results today are our Group CEO, Thomas Buberl, and our Group CFO, Alban de Mailly Nesle. Joining us for Q&A will be Guillaume Borie and Scott Gunter. With that, I turn over to Thomas.
Thank you, Anu. Good morning to all of you, and thank you very much for joining our first half 2026 earnings call. As we approach the end of our strategic plan, I'm very pleased to report another period of strong and broad-based performance. The numbers we published this morning demonstrate again the strengths of our franchise and the consistency of our delivery. When you look in the details, you see that we have delivered a strong organic top-line growth of +5%. We have also delivered +8% underlying earnings per share growth, which is at the top end of our target range, 6%-8%, while continuing to enhance reserve prudence. All of this leads to the fact that we are generating a very attractive return on equity of 18%, and what is particularly important in times of uncertainty and instability is that our capital position is extremely strong, with a Solvency II ratio of 218%. As you see, we are delivering profitable growth while maintaining a very robust balance sheet and further reinforcing the resilience of our business. With these strong results, I will reiterate again our confidence that for full year 2026, we can deliver underlying earnings per share growth at the upper end of our 6%-8% target range of this plan. When we go to the next page, we can see that these results underscore the quality of our franchise, with underlying earnings up 9%, excluding AXA IM, again achieved while further enhancing reserve prudence. This performance demonstrates disciplined execution across growth, margin, and efficiency, fully in line with the commitments of our plan. In detail, in Life and Health, we delivered strong earnings growth, increasingly balancing the contribution from P&C, where the business remains in excellent shape and continues to operate at best-in-class margins. We've also made very good progress on efficiency, leveraging technology and automation while continuing to invest in our business. This balance between cost discipline and strategic investment is absolutely essential to sustain our competitiveness and the creation of long-term value. You see all operating businesses are performing well, with strong results in line with our plan. These results confirm AXA's positioning as an all-weather company, able to navigate changing market conditions and to deliver consistent performance over time. If we go to the next page, when you look at the earnings growth across our four main geographies, the picture is very good. Every region is contributing positively, and the delivery is both strong and consistent. This gives us confidence in the durability of our performance. I am particularly pleased with the performance of AXA XL, where pricing has held up better than the market. AXA XL technical margin, excluding the impact of the Middle East, was stable in the first half. I want to particularly thank Scott and his team. They are doing an excellent job managing the difficult cycle. Our franchise today is well-diversified and of high quality across all geographies, all lines of business, and all client segments. We benefit from leading positions in our key markets, and our teams are executing rigorously and consistently against the plan. What also makes me very happy is that our strong capital position, the prudent reserving, and the disciplined risk management give us the flexibility to navigate volatility while remaining focused on the creation of long-term value. So this combination of profitable growth across all major geographies, a well-diversified and high-quality franchise, as well as a strong balance sheet, allows us to absorb shocks, invest confidently in the future growth, but also continue to deliver attractive, sustainable returns for our shareholders as we reach now the final phase of our current strategic plan. From this solid foundation, we are confident in our ability to sustain performance over time. Let me now hand over to Alban, who will take you through the financials in more detail and provide additional color on our results for the first half of 2026. Alban.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning to you all. So let me now go through the key numbers of the first half, and I will start with P&C. So we delivered excellent P&C results with earnings up 6%. And as Thomas said, we achieved these results while enhancing our reserve prudence. And performance is strong on all fronts: growth, best-in-class margins, lower non-commission expenses, and higher investment income. Our P&C combined ratio remained at a strong level, 90.1%, up 10 basis points versus half year 2025, and 30 basis points if you exclude Prima. This 30 basis points increase fully reflects the 0.1 billion losses incurred by AXA XL in the Middle East. But if I exclude those Middle East losses, AXA XL Insurance undiscounted loss ratio was stable, while it improved by 50 basis points in commercial lines ex-XL and by 20 basis points in retail. So excluding Middle East losses, we were able to improve the loss ratio across all our insurance businesses. Nat Cat was stable at 3.5%, and that's below our 4.5% normalized Nat Cat load. Expense ratio was also stable, with a 40 basis points improvement in non-commission expenses offset by higher commissions, and those higher commissions reflect a change in business mix. Reliance on PYDs was low at -1 point. Investment income was also a strong contributor, more than offsetting the 0.1 billion mechanical increase in unwind. This was driven by the growth in the asset base, reflecting business growth and higher yield, supported by reinvestment rates above the average yield of the portfolio, and also disciplined asset reallocation from private equity and real estate into private debt. And so we expect investment income to remain a tailwind going forward. All our businesses are performing well. In personal and commercial lines, excluding XL, we are growing volumes in a conducive pricing environment, with revenues up 8% and 3% respectively. In personal lines, we had 2 million net new contracts in this first half versus 1.7 million in the whole year in 2025. So this excellent momentum comes with strong margins. Current year combined ratio was down 50 basis points in retail, excluding Prima, and 10 basis points in commercial, excluding XL. Going forward, we intend to leverage this best-in-class profitability to grow further. At AXA XL, we grew earnings by 4% while maintaining AXA XL Insurance combined ratio stable, excluding Middle East losses and with no PYDs. This reflects effective cycle management. By allocating more capital to lines where profitability meets our return figures, we contained price decrease to minus 1%. We also achieved lower reinsurance costs, strict expense management, and better investment income. Going forward, we will continue to deploy capital in lines that are profitable, structurally growing, and less cyclical, such as US mid-market, defense and infrastructure, energy transition, autonomous vehicles, and data centers. So overall, these are high-quality results with strong top-line growth, best-in-class margins, and higher investment income. And this provides an excellent foundation for future growth. Let me now move on to life and health. Premiums were up 8% and earnings up 11%. Both our short-term and long-term businesses delivered strong performance. In short-term life and health, insurance revenues were up 5%. Technical margins grew by 53%, with 130 bps improvement in the combined ratio, which reached 96%. These results reflect the impact of pricing, underwriting, claim management, and efficiency initiatives we implemented over the past years. We are very pleased with this performance, which provides a strong base for future growth. In long-term life and health, our efforts to rejuvenate the savings business are also paying off. We see solid momentum with strong top-line growth and further improvement in net flows from 2.2 billion to 3 billion. CSM release grew by 6%. This reflects reserve growth from positive net flows, but also from the interest credited to policyholders in general account and the favorable impact of equity market returns in unit-linked. It also includes the CSM release rebasing that we had in the second half of 2025 and that we mentioned at full year. This rebasing boosts the growth versus half year 25, as it did when we compared full year 25 to full year 24. We expect continued growth in reserves, with the CSM release growth for full year 26 more in line with our guidance of greater than 3%, since full year 25 release was already rebased. Overall, very good performance in both short-term and long-term businesses, and we are confident in our ability to sustain this momentum. So if we move to this slide, which summarizes our earnings, we delivered 4% underlying earnings growth, but 9% excluding AXA IM. And you see that it's a very strong performance on all fronts. Net income was up 9%. At half year 26, financial flows were minus 0.2 billion euros. As you know, since the transition to IFRS 17 or IFRS 9, realized capital gains only include real estate and fixed income. Real estate realized gains are naturally lumpy, and they are managed on an annual basis. So we had no realized gain in real estate at half year, but we plan to realize our full year target in the second half, and that creates some seasonality in the net income. Last, UEPS was up 8%. At the top end of our target range. We achieved this strong performance while increasing reserve prudence and absorbing a minus 3% headwind from the decrease of average foreign exchange rate, mainly US dollar, Hong Kong dollar, and Japanese yen. A word on our solvency. Solvency II ratio was at 218% at half year 26. As you know, on January 1st, Our Solvency II ratio was 215, following the end of the grandfathering period, representing a minus 10 points impact versus December 31st, 2025. On top of this impact, our ratio was up 3 points in the first half of the year, driven by the following. First, plus 17 points of normalized capital generation, reflecting strong earnings and limited capital needs to fund our growth. And in particular, we benefited from the acceleration of growth in life and savings, because growth in life and savings enhances the benefits of group diversification on capital requirements. You know also that there is some small seasonality in the normalized capital generation, as there is a bit of seasonality in our underlying earnings. Minus 12 points from dividends and annual share buybacks, as expected, and minus 3 points from economic variance, mainly driven by higher inflation expectations and the widening of government and corporate bond spreads. So overall, strong balance sheet and a very capital efficient model. To conclude on financial performance, I would like to highlight the solid operational improvements of our franchise over the plan. What you see on the screen are the main operational KPIs that we presented to you at the inception of this plan. We are delivering on all of them. Since full year 23, we have achieved strong organic growth at 7% CAGR. Our P&C margins improved by 160 bips, including a 40 bips impact from losses in the Middle East. In P&C retail and in P&C commercial lines XXL, with profitability at excellent level, we do not see the need to improve margins further. Instead, we intend to capitalize on the favorable pricing environment to grow. At AXA XL, we have room to grow earnings, reflecting attractive growth opportunities, but also lower reinsurance costs, disciplined expense management, and higher investment results. In short-term life and health, we did more than fixing the UK business. By scaling pricing and underwriting capabilities, investing in care delivery and pathways, and managing our costs, we achieved strong profitability improvement across entities and increased the resilience of our businesses. Going forward, we expect to further expand our margins and capture the opportunities of this structurally growing market. In long-term savings, the rejuvenation of our business is bearing fruit. We rebased the CSM release in the second half of 2025, but we also significantly improved our net flows over the past 3 years. We expect to sustain this momentum that will fuel our reserves and drive earnings growth over time. Lastly, we enhanced our competitiveness through efficiency gains. Our investments in shoring and automation, as well as the first benefits of AI, are paying off. So this track record of execution lays the foundations for sustaining a strong momentum in the next plan.
Thank you, Alban. Let me now wrap up with a brief conclusion before we move to Q&A. We are on track to close this plan with very strong results. Two of our main financial targets are tracking at the top end of their ranges, and the third is well on track as well. Our execution has been strong, and the transformation initiatives we set out at the beginning of the plan have largely been completed or are firmly embedded in how we operate. We are starting the next chapter from a position of real strength. Earnings are growing at the high end of our ambition, capital and reserves are very robust, and our margins are best in class. This also means the next plan will not be about catching up from a weak base. It will be about building further on already excellent levels of performance and resilience. We are confident that even from the strong starting point, we can continue to deliver attractive growth in profits by driving organic growth, deepening our technical excellence, and accelerating efficiency through technology and data, while further enhancing the value we deliver to our customers. As you know, we'll present the new strategic plan in detail in September, on the 15th of September in Paris, and then followed by an event on September 21st in London. Given that, I would ask that today's Q&A really focuses on the first half 2026 results and the execution of the current plan, rather than on the specifics of the new plan that we will unveil on the 15th of September. With this said, let's open for Q&A, and as the operator said, it would be great if all of you who ask a question limit yourself to two questions so that we have an opportunity in the remaining 40 minutes for everybody to ask their questions.